morning.
You know, there was this old guy, Joe, and he was pretty sick, probably going to pass away. He had an old friend that he hadn't communicated with in a long time. And so he thought, you know, I need to get a hold of Bill because there's some things we need to make right between us before I just can't take those things to eternity with me. So he got a hold of Bill, sent word, and Bill came to visit him. So as Bill comes through the door, he says, man, I'm glad you're here because there's just things I need to take care of between us. I don't want our good friendship that went south to carry on any longer. I can't take that to eternity with me. So Bill said, okay. So Joe says, you know, I forgive you. I forgive you for things you've done to me, and I ask your forgiveness for the things that I've done to you. Bill says, yes, I forgive you. So they talked for a few more minutes, and then Bill went to exit the room and leave. And Joe says, oh, one more thing. This means nothing if I get better. So was that really forgiveness? I don't think so. We've been talking, started last week on our sermon series on the movie I Can Only Imagine. Last week, Gary talked about Imagine a Loving Father. And of course, in the movie, Bart didn't have a loving father. Not here on earth. But he found that loving father in God. Today, our theme is Imagine Forgiveness. And forgiveness is one of those things that we really don't like to talk about. Especially if it's on the end where we're the ones asking forgiveness. Now, it's not too bad if somebody's coming to say to us and apologizing to us and asking forgiveness. But forgiveness can be hard. Why is that? Well, we're going to look at that a little bit. It's an issue that every one of us in this place deals with. At some point in the past several weeks or month, some of you probably have been offended by somebody, hurt by somebody in some way, been done wrong, and you haven't failed to forgive them. Some of us are carrying around resentment and bitterness for years. It's just a burden on us. It's like heavy weights. So why talk about forgiveness? Well, number one reason is because our spiritual health depends on it. We can never grow spiritually if we don't take care of that forgiveness. We can't enjoy God's blessings upon us as long as we're carrying around the resentment for somebody else and we refuse to forgive other people. In Hebrews 12:15, it says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. What does that burden of non-forgiveness build? It builds that bitter root. And I think we can all attest to that. It just continues to fester in us. Bitterness is that small root that grows into a giant tree. Bitterness brings jealousy, dissension, and immorality. Scripture says that we are obligated to forgive others. Whoa, I don't like that word, obligated. Because that means we have to. We are obligated to forgive others. And when we don't, consequences can be severe. Gary, put up the scripture verse for me, if you would, please. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive man when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Should we even read this next line? But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Ouch. Reason number two, because we do not naturally know how to forgive. It's not something that's built into us as humans. It's more likely that we've learned to more about the subject of forgiveness from the negative roles than from the Word of God. We're familiar with road rage and disgruntled employees and drive-by shootings and school shootings. We just heard about the massacre in Pittsburgh yesterday. And we think, how can you forgive something like that? People all around us are racked with guilt and anger and depression. Sometimes it makes you wonder, are they having an issue with forgiving something in their lives? Reason number three, because forgiveness is the clear command of Scripture. In Ephesians, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. Always got to throw that extra line in there, don't we? The example, the principle that was set forth by God, just as Christ has forgiven you. Obedience to that command, it's not an option. It says do it. In fact, we have no option concerning the issue according to Scripture. Fourth reason we need to talk about it is because forgiveness is hard, really hard. It's tough. If we're honest this morning, and I hope we can be, we would admit it's a whole lot easier to nurse a grudge than it is to forgive. Luke 17:3 says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, I forgive you. The apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. What are they saying there? Put this in a context of yours today. Something, someone, whatever it is, offends you, does something horrible to you, and they come and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I wronged you. Forgive me. You say, okay, I'll do that. And an hour later, they come do it again. And an hour later, they come do it again. And an hour later, they come do it again. How many times are you going to forgive them? How many times before you finally say, you know what? Get away from me. I want nothing to do with you. No, I won't forgive you. It continues. That's our human nature, isn't it? Forgive them once, maybe twice, three times a real stretch. But what's God saying here? Forgive them seven times? The disciples say, how do we do that? How do we do that? Increase our faith. We don't know how to do that. It's only through God that we can. This morning, we're going to talk about the foundation of forgiveness. I want us to look at three principles that Jesus gives us that form the basis of forgiveness. I'm going to go to the story in Matthew 18. And if you want to turn there and read along, you're certainly welcome to. I don't have it on the screen. Matthew 18, verse 21 is where we're going to begin. It says, and Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should until he should pay back all he owed. This is how the Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Let's pray a minute. Lord, I just ask that as we go through this today, a hard message on forgiveness, harder for some than others, but Lord, that we can look at your principle and your love of forgiveness towards us. Lord, that you would just open our eyes to your forgiveness, that we might even just catch a glimpse of the value of what it's about. So Lord, I just ask that you just bless us today. Amen. True forgiveness goes beyond any reasonable human limits. And I think that's probably one of the best ways to put it today. It goes way past what we think as humans is right. In our passage, Jesus asked, how many times should we forgive someone who sins against us? Seven times? The perfect number. He probably thought he was saying something really good here. He was going to impress Jesus. Well, of course, it's not just once. So let's go with seven. And that's the perfect numbers. And Jesus is going to think I'm really on it. And am I making a good statement here. I'm going to forgive seven times. I'm going to impress Jesus. And what's Jesus come back and say? No. 77 times. And it's not that number. It's not when you get to 77 that you can finally stop. Jesus meaning, don't count. Don't even keep track. Because there is no end to it. To the human ears, what we hear Jesus saying is absurd. That cannot happen. I'm not going to forgive somebody 77 times when they continue to offend me or do me wrong. I've got a hard enough time forgiving somebody once, let alone not even keeping track and continuing to forgive. Jesus destroys any kind of reasonable human standard. Because we're not talking about our human standards. The concept Jesus is trying to get across is don't even try to keep score. Keep on forgiving, even when their offenses are too many to count. Jesus is telling us we cannot place limits on forgiveness. Gary, would you get ready to tee up the video? Now, I think most of you have seen the movie. I can only imagine. For those that haven't, Bart, the gentleman that wrote the song, I Can Only Imagine, has been struggling with God. He's been in this band. They've been traveling all over, and they finally got this one guy to help him out as far as a kind of a manager, and it seems like things are really going well. Although he's had a horrible life. His father was horrible to him through his childhood. Crushed any idea or imagination that Bart might have come up with as a child. Beat him a lot. Even forced Bart's mother to leave the marriage. Bart had a hard time growing up. But now things seem to be on track. They're in this band. Things are going good. Manager gets an audience for him with a lot of high-end guys to do recordings. And after kind of the audition, so to speak, they say, no, you're not good enough. And it crushes him. He doesn't understand why. And finally, his manager tells him, you need to take some time. Go find whatever it is you're running from and deal with it. So he finally goes back to his dad, and this is where we're going to pick up the scene. And he confronts his dad. So, Gary?
Take that one. Yeah, go ahead. Want some bait? Say grace.
What?
I'll do it. God, it's me here, Arthur. I want to thank you for answering my prayer. And Rub it up, Doug. Thanks for the grub. Amen.
So you've found God or something?
Well, I've been listening to some preachers on the radio and reading the Bible and whatnot.
What part?
All of it. And a couple of times, actually. And it's pretty confusing. It's like Leviticus. What is that? I don't get it.
What prayer? You said God answered a prayer. What prayer?
This is seeing you again.
Oh, Dad, I've been busy.
Yeah. I guess you noticed I've got a few projects going on around here. And I got one out in the garage I was hoping that you'd help me with. I've been rebuilding a Jeep of mine. And, man, when I was your age, I made some memories in that Jeep. And I was hoping that maybe we could get it running again and, I don't know, go somewhere.
What are you doing? What is this?
I wrote you some letters. Did you get them?
Yeah. Threw them away.
Did you read them?
Nope.
Oh. Oh. I thought that's why you came back last night, huh? Oh, I was just trying to make a memory. That's all.
Well, that's kind of hard for me to do, Dad. Because all the memories that we have together are bad.
Get some ketchup. Son, I know that I did some things that I'm...
You did also... some things? I got a memory for you, Dad. That night you beat me so badly that I had to sleep on my stomach because I was so bruised. I couldn't move. What was it, 10? 11?
Yeah, I remember that. That tore me up. I cried that all night about what I did to you then.
I cried too, Dad. In pain. All night. Why were you? And now you just want to come back in here, make breakfast, pretend like nothing ever happened? It doesn't work that way, Dad.
What am I going to do, Bert? I want to make things right with you and me. And I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. I'm trying. I'm reading a lot of books I don't understand, and I just got a lot of questions about myself. I don't have nobody to answer them for me. If God can forgive everybody else, why can't he forgive me?
God can forgive you. I can't.
Where's your limit of what you can forgive? Because I'm sure there is one on our human nature. I can forgive the guy that cut me off in the freeway. I can forgive the guy that ripped me off for $100. But could I do that? Could I forgive somebody doing that to me? But Jesus said, I've called you to a much higher standard of forgiveness. What standard of forgiveness do you follow? Our human one or God's? Do you refuse to forgive at all? Are you forgiving according to what you think is reasonable? Or are you following what Jesus has set forth for us to do? Forgiving lavishly and unselfishly. When I was reading through some of the material that they give you for this video, it also gave some kind of insight to Bart when they were filming this scene and what really took place in real life. The one that really stood out to me, one part of it, was as that was taking place in real life, the father saying, God, why can't he forgive me? And Bart says, he can. But he said, what was going through his mind at that time, but I don't want him to. Jesus is mine. Why should he forgive you for what you've done? See, that was his human mind. He didn't want him to. Probably some of you are having some problems with what we're talking about today because you got some bad memories, and that's okay. I understand how some have been wrong and just can't say I forgive. Just like Bart, he couldn't do it. He knew God could forgive his dad. But at this point, Bart could not. Later on, he will. After his dad passes away, they built their relationship back. And after his dad passes away, that was the idea for the song that he wrote, I Can Only Imagine. See, Jesus knew his disciples would struggle with that high standard, so he told them that parable about the king, the talents. A servant that was so far in debt that there was absolutely no way to pay it back. 10,000 talents. One talent was 6,000 denarii. One denarii was a day's wage. Do the math. Let me say that again. 10,000 talents in debt. One talent equals 6,000 denarii. One denarii is a day's wages. Probably worth billions today. There's no way that guy could pay it back. But the king said, I'll forgive that debt. But what's the servant do? He goes out to a guy that owes him a little bit of money, and he won't forgive him. The king finds out and says, no, that's not right. After I've forgiven you that huge debt, and then you could not go out and forgive such a small debt. How do we relate to that today? Do we do the same? You see, God forgave us a huge debt. Something there is no way we can repay. Not a chance. And yet, we hold a grudge. We won't forgive somebody that offends us in a much lighter way. See, we need to understand how lavishly we've been forgiven. And that's hard to do. I don't know how to put that in words today to express that. That's something that has to come from your heart to understand what God did for us. See, it was our sin that put Jesus to the cross. It was our sin that held him on that cross. It was our sin that put him in the grave. All for our forgiveness, because he was the Lamb. The sacrificial lamb. But see, then it didn't stop there, because the forgiveness is there. Then God turns around and says, oh, by the way, I'll forgive you. And I'll call you my child. And I'm going to give you eternity with me. How do you put a value on that? I don't know how to express that. Forgiveness. Couldn't have been any higher coming from our God. And yet, we don't want to forgive the $100 that somebody stuck us for. See, forgiveness begins when we realize we've been forgiven. We're on the receiving end of God's ultimate mercy. It may have well been billions and billions of dollars for us to pay back because there's no way we can pay it back to repay that debt. Yet, God chose to display his ultimate mercy to us. God was willing to provide the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be forgiven. 2 Corinthians says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become righteous to God. Sometimes we don't understand debt today like was debt back in that time. Today, if we're $100,000 in debt and can't pay our credit cards and whatever bills we've got out, we have an option to file for bankruptcy and just clears it all out. There's some consequences involved, but nothing massive. So debt to us today doesn't sound like, doesn't have the consequences as it did then. Then it was, you're going to jail, your family, your children, all your belongings, probably going to be sold into slavery to help pay that debt. Huge consequences. So for us to understand the debt that was paid sometimes is a little harder. The key to understanding where forgiveness begins is to understand how much that we have been forgiven. Again, putting Christ upon the cross was because of us. Forgiving others as lavishly as we, lavishly and completely as God has forgiven you. That's the hard part. A young child tried to pray along with the congregation as they recited the Lord's Prayer. And thank you, Brad, for doing that today. I wanted that done and I forgot to ask you. She messed up some of the words, but got the meaning behind it right. She prayed, please forgive our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. Maybe that makes a little more sense to us. Because that's exactly what we have, is a big trash basket coming before God and asking him to forgive us. But what about the people that keep putting trash in our basket? God says there, forgive us. As we forgive, will you please forgive us? So let's back that up and make it reversed a little bit. If we don't forgive, why will God forgive us? Basically, it comes down to this. If you want to be forgiven by God, you need to be forgiving others. But if you want the severest form of discipline that God will administer to your life, fail to forgive and see what takes place. The burden on your life, the anxiety, continue to build. Freedom is what comes from forgiveness. Freedom. See, mercy from God, from us to others, will triumph over judgment. The final verse of the passage we read earlier this morning says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. Everybody in here today has been wronged in some way. We can acknowledge that. Some horribly. Some cruelly. Others, not so much. Been lucky and blessed, maybe. That's the way to put it. I want to read that passage to you again one more time out of Matthew. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. An unforgiving spirit can bring that punishment. In a book, it was about the Civil War and Robert E. Lee. Mr. Lee visited a Kentucky lady who took him to the remains of a grand old tree in front of her house. There she bitterly cried that the limbs and the trunk of that tree had been destroyed by the Yankees' artillery fire. She took to Lee for a word, hoping that he was going to condemn the actions, speak badly about the North or at least sympathize with her loss. What did he say? He said, after a brief silence and looking, he said, cut it down. Cut down the tree, ma'am, and forget about it. It is better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain and let that bitterness take root and position the rest and poison the rest of your life. That tree meant a lot to her. And she'd much rather look at that tree every day and think about how she'd been done wrong. Cut it down. Forget about it. Today we need to lay down our hurts. I mean, our agony and our pain. Lay it down by forgiving those that have harmed you. Forgive that person or persons in your heart and move on with the blessings that God's forgiveness in your life. Focus on that. The forgiveness that's been given you. The year was 1947. It was almost two full years after the liberation of Auschwitz and Corrie ten Boom, a survivor of that terrible concentration camp, stepped forward in a German church to share testimony. As she stepped forward, she prayed that God would use her words to bring about healing, forgiveness, and restoration. When she finished her message, a man stepped forward, moving his way through the crowd of people there to talk to Corrie. He looked familiar, like she'd seen him somewhere before. As she looked into his eyes, it all became crystal clear. She recognized him. She could not see him in the uniform holding a whip. She remembered her sister dying a slow and painful death at his hands. The memories came flooding back to her, memories from Auschwitz and this man who had been a guard at the camp. He spoke with his eyes looking sadly into hers. He said, I'm a Christian now. I know that God has forgiven me, but will you forgive me? He stretched out his hands to receive hers. Corrie stood there for what must have seemed like an eternity, although it was probably only a moment or two. She knew that she needed to make a choice. Would she forgive the man who, at whose hand she experienced much pain, hurt, and humiliation? Would she? Could she? She silently prayed, Jesus, I need your help. I can lift my hand, but you need to supply the feeling. She slowly raised her hand, reached out to the man, and took his hand in hers. As she reached out, a warm sensation filled her heart. God was indeed faithful. She said, I forgive you, brother, with my whole heart. That day, former guard, former prisoner, were both healed and set free from the bondage of bitterness and anger. We all need forgiveness. We know that. We all need forgiveness from our God. And most of us need forgiveness for offenses that we've done. Forgiving each other. Where do you stand today? Can you do it? Maybe not on your own willingness, but through God you can. If there's something that's holding you back from forgiving others, maybe something that's holding you back for accepting God's forgiveness, then I'd like to pray about that today with you. So we're going to close with a song today that's called At the Cross. And the words in that song say, I know a place, a wonderful place, where the accused and the condemned can find mercy and grace. Where all the wrongs that we've done, all the wrongs that have been done to us, were nailed on that tree. They were taken care of. God has taken care of it. Question is of you. Let's stand. We'll close and sing. If there's God speaking to you today about something along these lines or anything else that you need some prayer about or talk about or just want to come up and pray yourself, you're welcome to. Forgiveness is important. Go back to the kind of one of the first lines of the deal this morning. Can you imagine forgiveness the way that God forgives? Let's sing. Thank you for that place that we can come. Father, thank you that you have taken all the wrongs that have been done to us, all the wrongs that we've done to others, and you placed them on that cross. They're forgiven just by us coming, asking. Father, I ask that you just bless each heart here this morning. Lord, if you've stirred some hearts, that I just pray that you would just give us the strength to deal with issues that maybe we need to deal with. Lord, I just pray now that as we leave this building, that you would just be blessing us, using us as your servants, going out and loving others through you. Lord, give us a wonderful time as we celebrate Anelia's birthday. Lord, I just thank you for the witness, the blessing that she's been throughout life. Lord, continue to bless her. Lord, until we meet again next week, keep your eyes shining upon us. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.